I hear that we've got a snowstorm coming in tomorrow night. Miriam's got to work tonight at Hackett Hill. She'll be with Sarah tonight and tomorrow night she'll be there. I said, Sarah, my wife's going to be working your facility tonight, but you'll probably be sleeping. She said, no, I won't. I'll be up. So they'll probably have some fellowship in the middle of the night. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad we can encourage each other. You know, churches, it's such a blessing. Because God's people, we all have the Holy Spirit, and we all encourage each other in the house of God. For our final hymn tonight, let's open up to 134. Here's what we've got, A Blessed Assurance.
Amen.
Guess who wrote it? Fanny Crosby, the great hymn writer of the faith. Fanny Crosby was born blind, but boy, could she see spiritually. She wrote so many hymns, great hymns of the faith, Fanny Crosby, you know? Which goes to show that you don't have to have all your senses to love Jesus and to know him. And she's a shining example of that. 134, and remain seated. We don't want to overwork you. And we'll sing the first and second. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descend.
Precious words of that hymn. The third stanza is even better. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
Amen.
Lost in his love. Amen. Woo. Those old hymns of the faith, I tell you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. Yes, sir. Well, praise the Lord. We'll sing again after. But let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. And we're coming back to a Sunday night series. As you're opening to Proverbs chapter 9 tonight. We're coming back to our weekly series on entitled The Place of the Dead. The Place of the Dead. Part 7, sound man. Part 7 tonight. Already we're on week 7. And the reason for the title, don't let it throw you, is simply because of the fact that the Bible speaks so much concerning the afterlife and where people go once they take their final breath. So it's entitled The Place of the Dead. And the Bible has, oh my goodness, so much material on this subject. Now, tonight we come to our seventh biblical term describing the underworld, the unseen spirit world. That is the place of the dead. And that is the word hell. The word hell. Yes, some go to a place called hell after death. Now, this English word, hell, comes from a Teutonic word. That is an ancient German root. It means to hide or to cover. This is because of the fact that all souls that go to hell are hidden and covered from the eyes of all the living on earth. Now, the concept of hell is included in some of the concepts of Abaddon and the pit, which we've already seen. So while the scriptures do not actually use a specific term for hell, except for the word hell, yet the concept of hell is taught throughout the entire Bible. Now, what people call hell today is what the Old Testament saints called Abaddon, or the pit. We saw that in week 3, I think it was, the pit. Now, the unrighteous side of Sheol, slash Hades, is hell, okay? The underworld, let me explain it this way. The underworld, the netherworld, has various compartments. It's below us. It's under our feet in the center of the earth. There's a huge place. You can't get to it, not even with all our modern technology. They can't dig that far, okay? But it's down there. The Bible says so. And in this place called Sheol, you have various compartments. You have the pit. You have the abyss. You have Tartarus. You have paradise, which is now empty. We know that they're all in heaven. But you also have a portion of it called hell. Why? Why the different sections? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. Following our exegesis on this subject, hell contains only unsaved human souls that have died without Jesus Christ. It does not contain the fallen angels who are held in two other compartments of Hades. That is Tartarus and the abyss. That's where fallen angels go. The fallen angels that sinned in Genesis chapter 6, they go to a place called Tartarus. That's a separate section from the abyss where fallen angels go who did not commit the sin of fornication. A fourth compartment in Hades is called paradise. You got a number of them down there. Paradise, that's Abraham's bosom. This is the place where all Old Testament saints who died went before the cross. They couldn't go to heaven because Jesus didn't yet rise from the dead. Jesus had to be the first one to die and rise from the dead and ascend into heaven. Then, now what he did when he rose from the dead, if you remember, the Bible says in Matthew 26, and a lot of the graves of the saints opened up and they came up out of them. Why? Because Jesus was ascending to heaven and he was taking all of the Old Testament saints up to heaven with him. Okay? So paradise is empty today. Nobody goes there now like they did in the Old Testament. We die, we go straight to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, let's examine some of the actual conditions in hell today. First, in hell, every single soul is spiritually dead. Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs chapter 9, look with me at verse 17. Speaking of sin, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's what the devil tries to tell you. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Notice sin personified in verse 18. It says, her guests are in the depths of hell. How sad that all souls in hell are spiritually dead, and they'll be that way forever. Why? Why can't they just get saved? Somebody, think.
Because they're dead.
Too late. That's right, Doris. They already had their opportunity to be saved during their lifetime on earth. They rejected the salvation of Jesus Christ, and now they are eternally dead spiritually. That is, eternally separated from their Maker. How sad. You know what I think the worst part of hell is of all? Not the flames, not the demons, not the smoke, the torment. I believe the worst part of all is that every soul knows that they will never, ever be able to see their beautiful Savior who died for them. They're forever separated from God, their Maker. Isn't that sad? Because it doesn't have to be that way. But in hell, listen, all souls are spiritually dead. Secondly, that in hell, hell has their own welcoming committee. Did you know that hell has their own welcoming committee for souls that go there? Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Flip over from Proverbs, two books, you'll be there. Isaiah chapter 14, just after Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. And look at chapter 14 of Isaiah. Don't miss this. Hell has a welcoming committee. Did you know that? A welcoming committee. Look at this in verse 9. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath, that's where it is, it's beneath us, is moved for thee. This is a person going to hell. To what? Meet thee at thy coming. It, hell, stirreth up the dead for thee. There's those spiritually dead souls again. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Did you notice the welcoming committee in verse 9 and verse 10? When someone enters hell, they're greeted by people who are already there, and they say, oh, you came to be here too? They question them. Isn't that sad? Yep. That is so sad, because it's not a welcoming committee like in heaven, where the glorious angels are dancing on streets of gold, and Jesus is clapping, yeah, my child made it home. No, this is a much different welcoming committee. It's not good. Thirdly, that hell is getting bigger all the time. Did you know that? Hell is getting bigger as I speak. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Hell is getting bigger all the time. Why? Why would it have to get bigger? Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible gives us the answer to that question right here. In Isaiah chapter 5, look with me at verse 14. Don't miss this. Verse 14, therefore, what's the next word? Hell hath what? Enlarged herself. It's getting bigger. Why? And opened her mouth without measure. Why? And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. God says that hell is getting bigger because of all those people who are going there. And isn't that sad? It says the multitude of people, hell hath enlarged herself to receive the multitude of people that are going there. Folks, that is so sad to me as a preacher to know that so many people are dying and ending up in this horrible place called hell. But fourthly tonight, that hell is a place of darkness, not light. Go to 2 Peter, New Testament, 2 Peter. Hell is a place of gross darkness, not light. There is no light. In hell, there's nothing but darkness. We says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, look with me at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to what? Hell, happens to be Tartarus, the Greek word, and delivered them into chains of what? Darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Why? It's a place of darkness. Hell is a place of gross darkness. I believe the darkness is so thick, you could cut it with a knife. Horrible, horrible darkness. Fifthly, that hell is a place of torment. Go to Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. You know where I'm going. In Luke chapter 16, there's a man that ends up in hell. And the Bible tells us exactly what he's experiencing. Horrifically, graphically, the Bible describes it. I wonder why God would allow that to be described in his word. Do you think it's because he's trying to warn us not to go there? Yeah. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man who was lost dies, and the beggar who was saved, Lazarus, dies. Lazarus goes to paradise in the center of the earth, but the rich man goes somewhere else. Look at verse 23. Luke 16, 23. The rich man. And in what? Yeah. Hell. He lift up his eyes, being in what? Torments. Torments. Hell is a place of torment. That's like torture. That's horrific to think that these people, for rejecting Jesus Christ, will be tormented. And verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented in this flame. Now the JWs, they'll tell you there is no hell. Don't let him tell you there's a hell. Don't believe what the Bible says about hell. There is no hell. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. You ever notice that people who don't believe in a hell are lost and heading there? I've never yet met a saved person who doesn't believe in hell. What'd you get saved from? You know, if there's no hell, why'd you get saved? There's no reason. See, hell is real. They've air-conditioned hell today. Preachers don't preach on it no more. They think they're going down, they're going to drink beer with their buddies and have a party in hell. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, not at all. It's a place of torment. Mm-hmm. Sixthly, that hell is a place of fire. Go to Deuteronomy, fifth book of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 32, Moses' famous song in Deuteronomy 32. Even the Old Testament talks about the fires of hell in Deuteronomy. The whole Bible does. The Bible is consistent on this theme of this place of punishment for mankind for rejecting the Son of God. In Deuteronomy 32, look with me at verse 22. God is speaking, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the what? Lowest hell. He's saying, when he says lowest hell, he's saying all of hell has fire, because he's all the way down to the lowest spot. And shall consume the earth and with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Verse 22, God says there's fire in hell and is kindled from my anger. It's the wrath of God. Matthew, New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. What does Jesus say about hell? Does he say it's a nice place to go? No. Nice place to vacation? I don't think so. In Matthew chapter 5, watch what Jesus says in verse 22, and don't miss it. Verse 22, Jesus says, but I say unto you, words in red, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, Greek word raka is to say fool, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of what?
Hellfire.
Hellfire. Jesus says it's real. Don't go there. It's a horrible place. You don't want to be. Mark chapter 9. Flip over past Matthew to Mark. In Mark chapter 9, again, Jesus says concerning this place called hell, verse 47, Jesus says, look at verse 46 for a minute. Speaking of hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This fire that we're talking about in hell, it never goes out. Wow. 47, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to having two eyes to be cast into hell what?
Fire.
Hellfire. Jesus calls it hellfire. Why? Because there's fire in hell. Sixthly, that hell itself with all its occupants will one day be cast into the lake of fire. Did you know that? Hell itself with all of its occupants will one day be cast into the lake of fire. We're going to see that in a minute when we go to Revelation chapter 11, but not yet. Seventhly, that there will be wailing and screaming in hell. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Could you imagine the sounds from hell? down in Australia, they were doing a construction site recently. And they had to dig way down below the surface of the earth. And they drilled down, like, I mean a long way, like 3/4 of a mile. That's a long way down. And the guys, one of the construction guys, they were taking their coffee break. One of the guys thought he heard something. He put his ear down to the hole they had dug. And you know what he heard? They got it on tape, screaming and wailing from down below the earth. He said, what in the world? What's down there? I'll tell you what's down there. Hell's down there. Now, I don't know if that was coming from hell. I would guess it was. They taped it and put it on YouTube. You can Google it and you can listen to it yourself. It's really eerie. Go to Matthew 13. Go to verse 42. Jesus says, words in red, he shall cast them into a furnace of what? Fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. What is wailing? Somebody, what is wailing?
Extreme,
that's right on, sister. Extreme crying. It's not, it's, you know, it's bad. And he says, there shall be wailing. Look at verse 50. Same chapter, verse 50. He shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine the horrific sounds in hell? All the people screaming and, oh, man. I mean, I can't think of anything more depressing. Eighthly, that in hell, all souls will remember their life on earth and their personal rejection of Jesus Christ's salvation. Luke chapter 16 again. Go back to Luke again, chapter 16 again. There's a verse we didn't read, and it concerns memory. Memory for those who are in hell. They remember everything that happened in their lifetime, especially when you knocked on their door. Can I give you a gospel tract, tell you about my Savior Jesus Christ? And they slammed the door in your face, or spit on you, or screamed at you, or swore at you. They'll remember that. They'll remember that. Look at this. In Luke chapter 16, they have memory. Verse 25. But Abraham said, son, what's the next word? Remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You see that? In verse 25, Abraham said to the rich man who was in hell, you remember your lifetime, don't you? Yep, he remembered it all. Because further on, he talks about his brothers on earth. Now, ninthly concerning hell, is that all souls in hell believe in and desire worldwide evangelization. You know, they believe in soul winning in hell. They all believe in soul winning and want you and me to be soul winners, especially to their lost family members. Go to Luke 16 again. Look at verse 26. Don't miss this. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. See, paradise was separated from hell. They couldn't go back and forth. There was a great gulf in the middle. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, this is the rich man in hell, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou would send him to my father's house. Who is the him of verse 27? Who is that? Send him? Lazarus. You know that beggar that begged the rich man for a crumb of bread and he kicked him and said, get out of my face, I don't want to see you. He was so mean and cruel, and now he's in hell, and he's asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house. Why? 28, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He says, I want them to go soul winning at my house up on earth, so my brothers will get saved. People in hell want evangelization. They believe in soul winning. Now, 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What? Did you see that answer of Abraham in verse 29? He said, they have the word of God. If they don't hear the word of God, they won't hear one though he rose from the dead. Amen. If a person will not hear what this book says, they can't be saved. Amen. Right. They can't go to heaven. I say this all the time. And it breaks my heart because people say, ha, that's what you believe. Oh, that's a nice theory. No, it's true. You got to believe this book. Now, something else. That tenthly, that every single soul in hell rejected the word of God, the Bible, during their lifetime on earth. Look at verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, thank you, my dear, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Did you catch it? Verse 31. Abraham said, nope, if they will not hear God's word. What portion of God's word did they have at this point? They had Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament. That's all they had. And Abraham said, if they won't hear that Old Testament, the word of God, they can't be saved. That's what he's saying in verse 31. Now, incredible. Oh, it's nice and cold. Thank you. How important is the Bible? Reject the Bible, go to hell. Receive the Bible, go to heaven. That's not rocket science, right? That's pretty simple right there. All right, we've seen some of the conditions of hell. 10 of them. Now we must make 3 deductions concerning this horrific place, and I'll be done. First of all, that there is a total absence of righteousness in hell. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Just go to the last page of your Bible, you'll be there. Revelation chapter 22. There is a total absence of righteousness in hell. You think the world is bad now? Imagine what it's like down in hell, where there's no righteous people? Wow. Look in Revelation 22, verse 10. Jesus speaking. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Church, the time is at hand, I'm telling you tonight. We don't have any time left. Look at it. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Jesus says here in verse 11 that those who die in a state of unrighteousness, they're unjust, and they end up in hell, he says they're going to be that way forever. Notice the wording. Let him be unjust still. Let him be unrighteous. Let him be filthy still. That means forever. Isn't that sad? Oh, man. That is one of the saddest verses right there. Because it didn't have to be that way. They could have been righteous and holy in heaven forever. All right. That's the first thing. The second deduction we must make is that hell is a place of eternal separation from God. Go to John chapter 8. Gospel of John and chapter 8. Watch what Jesus says here to a bunch of religious people who thought they were going to heaven, but they weren't saved. Look at this. In John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. They were as religious as you can get, but they weren't saved. Why? Religion can't save you. It takes a person named Jesus Christ to save you. In John chapter 8, verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Wow. Did you notice the words in red in verse 21? Jesus says, you can't come to my heaven because you'll die in your sins without me. Wow. Now, if I was in this crowd, I would have immediately put my hand up. Jesus, this would have been Bob Oliver. Jesus, I want to go to where you're going. How can I do it? Not one of them asked him how. They just said, oh, you're just foolish, you know, like most people. But thirdly and finally tonight, that we must deduce that hell is a place of eternal judgment and punishment. Matthew 23. Go back to Matthew's gospel, chapter 23. Hell is no party. Hell is a place of eternal judgment and punishment. for those who end up there. And we find it in Matthew 23, verse 33. Matthew 23, verse 33. Jesus says, "Ye serpents," speaking to the religious Pharisees who rejected him. "Ye serpents." Jesus didn't pull any punches in his preaching, amen? You know what he just called them? A bunch of snakes. He didn't whitewash his preaching. He didn't try to make them feel good and tickle their ears.
Amen.
He told them the truth. 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the what?
Damnation,
damnation of hell." Now this word damnation, what does it mean? Think carefully. Damnation, the Greek word for damnation is krisis. Krisis literally means a sentence of condemnation. Damnatory judgment, just punishment. That's what the word means. Jesus is saying to them, how can you escape the just punishment of hell? How can you escape the sentence of condemnation in hell? How can you escape the damnatory judgment of hell? They couldn't. You know why? Because they wouldn't accept Jesus. And that's all he wanted them to do, was say, you know what, Jesus, we do believe you're the Son of God. And we want you in our lives. We don't want to end up in that horrible place. Oh, beloved, I'm so thankful tonight that no one has to go to hell. All we have to do is receive his love and redemption. All right, next week we'll examine our eighth biblical term used to describe the place of the dead. That is the unseen world. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the teaching from your word on that horrible place called hell. And Lord, we're reminded tonight that it's still there and it's still real. And we still have to warn poor lost souls not to go there. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have made it possible for every single human being on planet Earth to avoid going to hell. All they have to do is repent and believe the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, their Savior from hell, their Savior from death. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, we thank you that you are that Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. We'll sing one in a time of invitation. And during this time of invitation, you might want to come forward to the altar and pray for somebody you know that's on their way to hell. Someone who needs to be saved. And that you'll pray and say, Lord, touch them by your Holy Spirit. Open their hearts to the truth of the gospel that they might be saved and escape the damnation of hell. If the Lord lays somebody in your heart, you feel free to come. Let's open up to 67. We'll finish up with hymn 67. Jesus paid it all. That's why we don't have to go to hell. Jesus paid it all. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth, people. Oh, how I love this hymn. It says it all. Let's stand. We'll stand and altar is open if you need it.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt that heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. On the fourth, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Sing it now. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. Souls are still praying at the altar. Souls are still praying for lost souls at the altar. And Lord, we do pour out our hearts to thee tonight on the behalf of those in our lives that are not saved. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch them, open up their hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel, that they might be saved before it's too late. Yes. Oh God, we pray you bind the forces of darkness, the demons of Satan, that are hindering them from coming to Jesus Christ. We pray the blood of Jesus Christ upon that chain, and we pray you'd break it in Jesus' name, that they might come and know the truth of Jesus Christ and escape the horrible place called hell. In Jesus' name we pray. The people said, yeah. Yeah. Thanks, the Lord. Oh, thank you.